Come on in, folks. Have your seats. We're getting ready to worship the Lord. Amen? Amen. That's it, Gary. Bring them on in.
Good morning, everyone. Wow, everybody's seated before I got up here. This is brand new. Come on in, get a seat. I'd like to start this morning with Psalm 40. This is one that David wrote. It begins in verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to God, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. No one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Didn't quite understand why the Lord wanted that passage, but after we found out, everybody knows we got hit by lightning somewhere over the last day or so, and blew out all the modems and nearly set fire to the portables by the looks of it, and that took out the soundboard. But our faith isn't in soundboards or modems or electricity. Our faith is in the Lord.
Amen.
Would you stand and join me in prayer, please? Father God, we do thank you, because if we were to recount the things that you've done in our lives, it would be more than we could tell. We wouldn't have time to tell all of the things that you've done for us. Lord, I ask now that that we would raise our voices and that we would praise your name, Lord. Despite the challenges that we face electronically, Lord, that our hearts would sing out loud and that it would bring glory to you. And we thank you in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, please stay standing if you can. Yeah, exactly. Stay seated. No, because we're here to worship the Lord today. And we ask up front for your patience as we work through some sound issues. We're using our old soundboard, and so there might be some pops and some squeals every once in a while, so just ask for your patience with that. And we've got two older choruses that hopefully some of you folks will remember, because we don't have the PowerPoint projector today. But God knew all of this was going to happen before we came in today. And he had a plan for all of us. Isn't that right?
Amen.
So that's what we hold on to. Let God be praised. So let's start it up. Holy is the Lord God Almighty.
We stand and lift up our hands for the joy. We bow down and worship you now. How great and awesome is he. Together we sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. rising up. All around it's the anthem of the Lord's renown.
And together we sing.
And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you this day. Thank you, Lord God. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Let's sing that. Above all.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began.
Above all kingdoms,
above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
Crucified,
laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and
Jesus. Father God, we praise you and thank you for sending your son to die for our sins. Lord Jesus, we praise you. Thank you that we can celebrate new life in you, everlasting, Lord Jesus. And today it is with great honor that we get to celebrate your body, your blood that was broken. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your love. In your name, amen.
Yes, now I'm on. Okay, good. Thank you. When Mary Kate and I were in Israel, we were blessed to spend some time in the Garden of Gethsemane and the Garden Tomb. And I can't say they were my favorite places, but I think they were the places that touched me most spiritually. And while we were there, the night before we would go to different places, I tried to spend some time in Scripture and kind of contemplate what we would be seeing the next day. And before we went to the Garden of Gethsemane, right, the Lord brought me to the passage in Mark 16. And if you join me in Mark 16, I'd appreciate it. We'll begin with verse 1. Mark 16:1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" Now, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes when I read Scripture, I like to try to imagine what it was like for the different people that are in the passage. And I started thinking about, Mary, the mother of Jesus, what she might have felt like that morning walking to the tomb. And I'm sure it's probably easier for you ladies that have been mothers than this for me, but I'm a father and I think I can understand. You know, here she was walking to the tomb knowing that just a couple of days earlier that she saw her son hanging naked on a cross, bloody and bleeding, right? In a way, is humiliating and as painful as the Romans could possibly make death. And that, and she knew it was for something, a sin that he did not commit. All right, and then I thought about Mary Magdalene. Right? Mary Magdalene, Jesus had freed her from seven demons. Right? When she called on the Lord, he came and raised her brother Lazarus from the dead. He celebrated and taught, stayed in their home in Magdala. And I wonder what was going through her heart, how she realized that she would miss Jesus as she walked to the tomb. All right, this passage doesn't mention it, others do, that Peter was the first of the disciples. Right? And I can certainly relate to Peter. Act first and think about it afterwards. Right, and wonder what was going through Peter's mind that morning, if he was thinking about the 3 years that he walked the trails of Israel with Jesus, the nights that they spent fireside, Jesus teaching them. But he had to also be thinking about how Jesus told him that Peter would deny him, and how that did happen, and how now he couldn't tell Jesus how sorry he was. That must have been going through his mind. And yet the passage tells us when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee." And the joy that must have been to Mary Magdalene, Peter, when they found that empty tomb. Now you ask yourself, okay, well, what does this have to do with communion? That's a very good question. Let's go to the passage in Luke that we're all familiar with. And that is in Luke 22. we'll begin with verse 14, Luke 22, verse 14. And when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you that I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you. But that... In other passages, he goes on to say that we should take communion in remembrance of him. And so this morning, as we take the unleavened bread and the cup, and that, I want to remember him for not only the sacrifice that he made, and that the sadness I would have before I knew Jesus as my Savior. Right, and the joy that I have now because he's risen. And so, guys, if you'd start, if you'd pass out the elements for us, I invite you to take a few moments and think about how the Lord has changed your life. The sin and sadness and demons that you faced before Jesus, the sadness that brought to your heart. The hopelessness, and now that the tomb is empty and he's risen, the joy that we can feel knowing that we have Jesus as our Savior. And then when you're ready, take the bread, take the cup, and thank the Lord for all that he's done for us. Father, we thank you for your broken body and the blood that you shed for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord. Father, we thank you and we celebrate the empty tomb. Lord, and I ask that even the days that we're not celebrating communion, Lord, that we do remember these things, Lord. We remember your greatness, your love for us. And we thank you in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, brother. Thanks. Thanks, Stan Lee. Well, first off, we are very glad that you're here. So we welcome you in Jesus' name. There was a... Before we get started, for those of you who are just coming in late, some of you may be wondering, hey, why didn't we have the lights on, and why didn't we have the PowerPoints and the words for the PowerPoint songs, and why all this stuff? Well, we took a pretty severe lightning strike, and my wife had told me, she had sent me pictures, and in the other rooms, in the portables, there is literally probably about the size of the height of this projector here, this little projector screen here, charred marks from where the modem actually literally exploded and blew up into about multiple pieces 10 feet away, charred marks, all the papers all around it are all charred. I came in this morning and sat at the other one, and Nate just does it so nicely. He came, hey, you ready for some news? I said, sure, absolutely. What is it, Nate? He's like, well, we have no soundboard because that's been fried. And we have no modem because that's been fried. And we have no computer because that's been fried. And we have no PowerPoint because that's been fried. And so, but you know what? And somebody just brought up that, you know what? This place and each one of those places, even the socket thing, I don't even know what he called the AC adapter, literally charred and blown off the wall. The outlet blew up. And yet, every building stands. And so we praise the name of the Lord our God. Thank you, Lord. And we love you, Lord. And he's going to get us through all these things. He takes good care of us, doesn't he? Through all of our trials, through all of our tribulations. And so it might feel a little disjointed today, but that's okay. Do you know the main thing is God is here. And that's who we're really seeking. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. George, you got your hand up. I don't know if you're praising the Lord or you got something to say. Okay.
Today's sermon will be online.
Oh. Okay. Well, I don't know how that's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And so praise the Lord for that. And so I'm going to go from memory. And if those of you who know my memory is not... Let's just say the best. So I really rely on my little PowerPoints, but God worked it out so well because, and after I do announcements, we're going to call up Josh, and he's going to come teach. And so all the pressure's on him. Whoop, woo! Now, this is his first Sunday he has ever taught, and so we're going to pray for him, too, when he comes up here. Because it's, again, you guys are a pretty loving, amazing, godly group, but it's still scary when you're up here looking out at people. And so I'm going to try to remember the announcements. If I forget stuff, please forgive me. Okay, so first off, we welcomed you. Secondly, we don't collect tithes and offerings here. We do receive them. There's a little bird box in the back. And so that's where we receive your tithes and offerings. We welcome them in Jesus' name. We just don't want anybody to feel guilt or manipulated into giving. But you should give as the Lord leads. And you put that in that little bird box back in the back. A couple other things. We've got some missionary things. If you guys remember Peggy and Lester Seiler, Lord willing, that's still en route. And they'll be back here. Now, I wanted to put their picture up so that you would recognize them. They've been on the mission field now for 45 years serving the Lord, and they've bought a place here, and they were going to be back at our church. So when they come back, I just want them to feel welcome and loved. You guys do such a great job of doing that. So hopefully I'll put up their picture next time. Also, Paul Cowley and his family, they minister in the slums. They have Bible schools, Bible colleges in the slums of Kenya, in the worst of the worst of the worst. And so, Lord willing, we're going to talk about that, but we're going to be buying some Bibles. We do that every year as the Lord leads. We buy Bibles for all their people that they're training up to be pastors. And so as the Lord leads and the funds become available, we're going to be providing a new group of Bibles for those people in Jesus' name. Yes, sir. Yes, that's correct. He's only going to be, he's going to be on the other coast most of the time. He even asked, I was so busy last week, he's like, hey, brother, is there any way we can get together? And I said, oh, this is this 1 week, I can't. And so he said, no problem, we'll get together next time. So a couple other things that I, yes, honey. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, so a couple other things, so forgive me. Okay, so Sunday here, if you'd like to join us for prayer, if you're a prayer warrior, please, please come out. See Gary or Mark. Gary was the guy up here leading us in communion. And we want to just encourage you. It's 9 o'clock. We want to come out, just come out and pray for this body, pray for the community, pray just that God would do a work in people's lives. And so that's here on Sundays at 9. On Tuesdays, it's the women's group this week. We alternate between men's and women's Bible study. And men's are going through 1 Corinthians. That was last week. So this week is the women's, and they're doing a Beth Moore study on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Is there anything you would like to say or just? All right. If you want to join, you still can. Is that true? Okay. So very much encourage you to come. My wife has been telling me just how deep this Bible study is. And do the workbook. Go through it. If you can't do the workbook, come and just get fed. And that's Tuesday at 6. 6 o'clock. Okay, good. For the ladies. Okay, Wednesday, youth group. And Josh, since you're going to... woo-woo. Okay, by the way, we have some t-shirts. They did ship out. It says, I'm a whosoever on the front. And on the back, it has a cross and has John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's actually been shipped and is en route. I want to let you know. Yes. Okay. And Dale and his family, you guys notice they're redoing the flooring. They're going to be doing more and more of this flooring and replacing it in Jesus' name. And so we might need to borrow the youth this Wednesday for some conscripted labor. Well said. Yes. So just kind of know that in advance. Okay. On the 24th, we're having a youth pool party. At our house. Is that right, Amanda Panda? Did I get the right? Okay, so Wednesday the 24th, mark it in your calendar, pool party over the Shuttle Bowers during regular youth time. That'll be 6:30 to 9 o'clock, 6:30 to 8:30 or 9. And then Wednesday the 31st, baseball. Okay, we're having a baseball game for the youth, and we're opening it up to the church. We don't have a sign-up sheet because we have no printer to print it out. We'll bring that next week. Did you print it out? Oh, Gary, good for you. So if you would like to go, it's $10. We're going to go to McKechnie, or no, it's now called Lecom. Lecom. So it's $10 for tickets. You'll get a free drink, and you'll get a free hat. And the game starts, we'll be meeting over there about 6, 6:30.
Yeah, you do. So the tennis field, we give infield.
Okay. Okay. So if you'd like to sign up for that, please do. And then Thursday is The Forgotten God by Francis Chan. Mark, yes, is that correct?
It is correct.
And we're meeting?
We're going to do chapter 6 this week.
Okay.
Because where we are in James, what chapter 6
contains, it is. Okay, all right. So we would encourage you all to come out here. Very, very cool. Is there... oh, yes. There's also a sports camp. Okay, so I need Hezekiah to come up here since you're close and you have been also conscripted. Okay, if you have kids, we're going to, would you hand these out to every parent with kids? Just raise your hand if you have kids. Hezekiah is going to drop this off. We have Shepherd's Heart Sports Camp. It's going to be July 22nd to the 26th. All the information is on here from 9 to 3. They're going to be sharing the gospel. They're going to have lunch every day for the kids, snacks every day for the kids. I think it's $85 for the week. They're going to learn soccer, volleyball, flicker ball, football, wiffle ball, whatever noodle ball is. Ultimate Frisbee, and on and on and on. And our kids will also be ministering to all the kids. The gospel will be being shared. And Ms. Shuttlebauer, is there anything else you want to say?
Yes. It is $85 for the whole camp. We do feed them snacks and lunch. If $85 is too steep for anyone, please come see me.
Yeah. Yes.
They're going to be hearing the gospel. They're going to have a great time.
Yes.
We have a PE coach that works at another Christian school that's coming in for the whole week. He's totally certified. You know, he's got all the credentials that we need to keep a safe, you know, environment for these kids. And we've got a bunch of people volunteering. And it's going to be a great week. So don't let the $85 scare you away.
Can they come see you?
Yeah, come see me. We'll talk.
We just want kids to come.
We want them to come out.
Yes. Yes. And our kids are going to be ministering the gospel, our teens, so that'll be great. So anyway, we want to encourage you for that. Okay, 6 to 18. So I can go then. I can come coach. Okay. And also, the teachers are going to be going away on a training for Shepherd's Hour Christian School. Please pray for them. Honey, do you mind if we talk about Share Square next week? Is that okay without the picture and all that? Okay. So we will do that. Okay. All right. Okay, is there anything else I'm forgetting? Baptism. Thank you. No. Okay, so here's the deal. Okay, so you guys know we've just baptized 8 beautiful people in the Lord. Fantastic. Okay, so God put it on someone's heart, and then someone else wanted to get baptized, and someone else wanted to rededicate their life. So we now have 4 more people that want to get baptized. So is there, praise the Lord, yes. And everybody knows that baptism, that's just, it's an outward sign of an inward change that God has already done in your heart. And so if you want to do that, if you want to get baptized, Gary or I just want to meet with you for an hour or two. We just want to make sure you know what you're doing, you understand what you're committing to in Jesus Christ. But is there anyone else who would like to get baptized other than those 4 people that I already spoke to? Is there anyone else who want to give you a chance? Anyone else? Okay. All right. Okay. Now, is that it? Okay. Josh, you want to come up here? Yee-woo! Josh, you have no PowerPoint, but you can do it. God's going to speak through you. Yeah. Yeah, you can do that, I think. Yeah. All right.
Check one, check one.
Okay, that's...
Here we go.
Check one, two. Check one, two. All right, well, we're going to lay hands on you, brother, and I'm just going to pray, and we're going to pray again. I know we prayed outside, but if you guys could just join me, and just big smiles, just pray over him. Lord, we're just so thankful for Josh and Amanda Panda, Lord God. You know his heart, Lord God, and you know sometimes it can be scary, but I thank you that he wants to... He's stepping out in faith, Lord, and he wants to share your word with others, Lord God. And your word, Lord, says it will not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose that you set it out for, Lord God. And so right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that you would open us up to anything you want to speak to us, Lord God, that your word would take root in our heart, Lord God, that it would be planted deep in good soil, Lord God, that it would grow, that we would bear fruit, fruit that would last 30, 60, 100 times, Lord God, would grow, Lord. We pray for that fruit and to be abundant in our life, Lord God. We ask that you would give us humble spirits, open eyes, open ears to whatever your Holy Spirit has to say to us, Lord God. Help us to just be ready to receive, Lord God, anything you have, Lord God. And then when we get back in the book of James, do the same thing again next week, Lord God. But right now, just give Josh peace from the top of his head in the name of Jesus Christ by the blood of the Lamb, Lord, to the bottom of his feet, and anoint his tongue to speak your words only in Jesus Christ's name, and give him lots of comfort up here in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If anybody needs a Bible, raise your hand. Elijah, would you mind grabbing some of these Bibles for Mr. Josh? All right, it's all you, bro.
All right. So whenever I was putting this together, give me a moment to kind of get used to this. Whenever I was putting this together, and I thought about doing a PowerPoint, I was like, I don't know, Lord. I really want to do PowerPoint. I believe in the power with pictures and stuff. I feel like pictures can tell 1,000 words. But for some reason, the Lord was not letting me do that. And so he wanted me to Yeah, he wanted me to kind of do this. I was like, Lord, I don't know. There's a lot of people here. I'm going to be really nervous up there already. And PowerPoint's powerful and they like visuals. But he's like, Josh, you just can't do it. I'm like, okay, well, I'll work on something here. And so I thought that was pretty cool how the Lord, you know, was able to, you know, he knew this was going to not work and he knew the other stuff wasn't going to work. And so he just kind of knitted it all together. And so I thought that was awesome, super awesome. For those who don't know, my name's Josh. My wife's name is Amanda. She's in the back there recording me. And I got little Jasper, and then there's one on the way. So that's kind of our family, very exciting. And so let's get right into it. We'll see how time goes for it. Whatever length it goes, long, short, whatever, it's what the Lord wanted to say to you guys. And so, you know, it's not me saying it, it's him, so get upset with him if it's a time thing. So let's get into it. So anxiety is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. You see, a man climbed into the cockpit of a small plane. He was the pilot. He was nervous because he was about to go on a trip around the world. He made his checks, and then he checked his checks, and then he checked his checks again. Like I said, he was very nervous, kind of like I'm nervous up here. Soon after he went through his pre-flight rounds and mental gymnastics to pump up his courage, he took off. After he had been gone for some 2 hours, he heard a noise in his plane, which he recognized as the gnawing of a rat. He realized that while his plane was on the ground, a rat had gotten in. For all he knew, the rat could be gnawing through a vital cable or control of the plane. It was a very serious situation. Immediately, the man's hands began to shake. They began to tremble. Worry and anxiety filled him with fear. He could think of nothing other than all the possible ways his plane could go down. You see, anxiety is a broad term that covers a great deal of psychological ground. The beginning of the story with the pilot is an example of anxiety in the extreme. In the pilot's case, it can be almost justifiable. You know, it can be pretty scary just by being in a plane that is up in the air, let alone something starts to go wrong, right? But anxiety can also come from a job interview or a first date. Or from being laid off work, or from trying to pick the right food for your pregnant wife at supper time. That's like an everyday thing. It's the worst. You see, anxiety or worry can take many forms and can show up suddenly for all sorts of reasons, or no reason at all. It is only a problem when it extends its stay beyond logical worry in an unreasonable, unwarranted, uncontrollable way. Situations that should elicit no negative emotions all of a sudden seem life-threatening or crushing, or even can turn into a panic attack. For many, anxiety is an ever-present, uninvited guest, like the rat inside the pilot's plane, gnawing and gnawing at the cables of your mind. You see, my topical verse today is in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. But we're going to start with verses 6 through 7, which say, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." The verse again is in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And so once again it says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Who is talking here? Anybody? Paul, right? Yes. That's the same Paul who was beaten and stoned. And for those of you who don't know, that's when people grab a bunch of rocks. You know, they gather around you with the intent to kill you. He was thrown in jail, ridiculed. And if you look a few verses up, he says, "For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies. Even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things." And that was in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19. Yeah, listen to what Paul says. Yet Paul said, "Do not be anxious about anything." Eliphaz, while trying to comfort Job in the book of Job, had said, "Every person alive will have trouble." Every person alive, that's me, you, your neighbor next door, your friends, your family, all of us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, it says, "But mark this, there will be troubled times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people." We almost have every reason to be worried or anxious. Look at the description of the last days. So I don't know about you, but I think it perfectly describes where America is right now, right? Or the world, for that matter. Every time we get on social media or turn on the news, we encounter people just like Timothy's talking about right here, don't we? Sometimes we can even act like those kinds of people. Yet Paul said, "Do not be anxious about anything." That includes the time we are living in right now. It also includes whatever you are going through at home, or at your job, or in your marriage. You know, 18% of Americans suffer from anxiety or an anxiety disorder. 25% of youth between ages 13 years old and 18, that is saying 1 in 4 teens, have a nervous disorder characterized by a state of excessive uneasiness and apprehension, typically with compulsive behavior or panic attacks. Look around you. 1 in 4 teens here probably are having a hard time dealing with anxiety right now. You know, I think another statistic says it's like 1 in 10 adults are having this problem. You know, so it's not just a young person thing, it's an everybody person thing. You know, we live in a world where it's constantly bombarding us with all sorts of these things that are doing nothing but trying to bring us down, trying to turn our eyes from God but onto the world. This problem has 3 points of trouble for us. Point one, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's found in Ephesians 6, 12. So we fight against spiritual forces that can cause us anxiety. Two, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. So let that thing sink in. You know, when I talk with the youth, sometimes I tell them that we condition our hearts. You know, so if we are constantly going on social media, or if we're constantly going on, I don't know, Netflix or whatever, whatever we're feeding our hearts, whatever we're giving our hearts start to desire these things. We condition it to these things. And so we ask ourselves, "Lord, well, why do I always want to do this? Why am I, you know, constantly angry? Why am I constantly feeling anxious? Why am I constantly feeling frustrated or mad or whatever?" You know, sometimes it's because we're conditioning it to feel this way. Just like how the Lord tells us all the time to condition our hearts to not focus on the things of this world, but to focus on Him. So that we get in a time of trouble, our heart wants, desires, yearns for Him. So let's continue. So we fight against the nature of sin in our flesh, which can cause anxiety. Three, you adulterous people. Well, that other verse is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 6. For those who want to know. Number three, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. That's in James 4:4. Those are pretty strong words, right? You know, as a Christian, sometimes we can feel like almost aliens in a strange land. You know, here we're trying to walk the straight and narrow, the right path, and yet, you know, people don't like that. They almost don't accept it. They attack Christians. You know, we fight against the world that can cause anxiety. You know, you're probably thinking right now, stop telling us we have a problem. We know there's a problem, but how do we deal with it? What do we do with our problem? Well, first, let's go back to our pilot. The pilot trembled. He was terrified and did not know what to do. It was 2 hours back to the landing field. It's 2 hours to the next one ahead. Then he remembered that the rat is a rodent. It is not made for heights. It is made to live on the ground and under the ground. So the pilot began to climb. He went up 1,000 feet, then another 1,000, and then another, until he was more than 20,000 feet up. The nine stopped. The rat was dead. He could not survive in the atmosphere of those heights. More than 2 hours later, the pilot brought the plane safely to the next landing field and found the dead rat. Listen, worry and anxiety is a rodent. It cannot live in the secret place of the Most High. It cannot breathe in the atmosphere made vital by prayer and familiarity with the Scriptures. Worries die when we ascend to the Lord through prayer and His Word. Listen, in John 6:33, Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." All of you have probably already heard of the verse in Jeremiah 29:11, which starts off saying, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." But most of you probably have not read the verses before it, the context of the verse. You see, God's people were being carried away, taken from their families, their homes, their city, their jobs, their way of life. They went from Jerusalem to Babylon. The exiles, God's people, had lost everything but their lives and what few possessions they could carry with them. They lost their freedom and now were captives. The situation seemed hopeless. Just like some of our situations in life might seem hopeless with worry constantly set on our hearts. You know, for some of you, it almost feels like it doesn't want to go away. We get over one thing and then there's another thing we're getting worried about. Or yet Paul said, do not be anxious about anything. Listen to what God said to his people during this time of exile in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 through 14. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too prosper. You know, think about that. You know, they're being carried. Well, one, God says he carried his people there. Think about that. And two, they're being carried to, you know, a place that's, you know, worse than Sin City, worse than Vegas, you know, Babylon. For, you know, God's people, this was like the worst place they could be taken to. And yet God said, do not decrease. So don't go hide in a cave. You know, don't isolate yourself. Do not decrease, but seek peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into. You know, as a Christian, sometimes I think about, you know, am I going to have Jasper go into public school or not? And, you know, sometimes we get scared to put ourselves in these public places, but yet the Lord wants us to go amongst these people. He wants us to be a light to these people. He wants us to help carry those people from darkness to light. Do not decrease. So let's continue. To the city which I have carried you into exile, pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to do. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them. The Lord continues to say, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back. To bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. For I know the plans I have for you. God said to Joshua in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9, Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. For I know the plans I have for you. In Psalms 55:22, he says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. For I know the plans I have for you. In Psalms 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose stream may glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our strong tower. You see, God upheld his people, and he will uphold you. Listen, there is one who was beaten. There was one who was in sorrow, weeping, in pain, thrown on wood meant to humiliate and kill him. He was like you and me. And even in his appointed time, in his anxiousness, he turned his head up. He put his attention on the Most High, his Father, our God. When we feel worry and anxiety feels like it will never go away, we need to turn our heads up to God, who is our Jehovah Shalom, our God of peace. And his peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, also what comes to mind is in Romans, I forget where it's in Romans, but it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And so don't let the world, don't let some of these statistics I say dictate who you are in the Lord. No, you can have these things. You can be born with these problems, but the Lord can bring you up out of them. He can take that anxiety, just siphon it out of your head if only you turn to him. When you turn your head towards him, when you look towards him, when you ascend, like that guy ascended in the plane to kill that rodent, when you go up to these high places, the Lord will sustain you. And so that's what I got for today. So let's... real quick, let's... questions. Okay, I was going to pray. Hezekiah, I saw your hand first. Yes.
I don't know if you said this one or not, but Philippians 4:9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the peace of God will be with you. So basically, it's like, especially in my life, if like I'm feeling like depressed or like, you know, anxious or whatever like that, it's usually because I'm not reading the Bible, I'm not trusting in Him and stuff like that. So when I put my faith back into Him and start practicing and living the way that He wants me to live instead of the way that I want to live, you know, He kind of gives you peace and turns the whole thing around.
I love the word practice too. It makes me think of, you know, whenever you want to get good at something, you practice. You know, you spend time at it, you work at it, you sweat at it. You know, it's just like Nick, myself, and Philippe were training Saturday, you know, to go to this event. It takes practice. You can't just go and just do it. You know, you have to work at it. And just like, so whenever we come with times of sorrow, times of trouble, when they come our way, have you been practicing your scriptures? Have you been reading your scriptures? Have you been going to the Lord? Have you been conditioning? Have you been practicing your heart to look to Him and not to look to your friends, not to look to your neighbor for advice or, you know, hoota yada yada? Look to the Lord, because He's the only one that's going to give you good advice. Everyone else will give you their fleshly opinion. You know, so always go to the Lord. I mean, you can go to a godly man or woman in your life, ask them advice, absolutely. But always check it with the Lord, too. And so, awesome. Thank you, Hezekiah. Yes?
Can I have a copy of that?
Yes. I got it right there. I'll give you a copy. You can have this copy.
Thank you.
Yes. You as well? Oh, perfect. Another one, two. Okay, I got to make a tally then. Sure.
First off, thank you, God, for the word.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. He downloaded that right into my brain. I don't know how it happened.
And then secondly, sometimes I've noticed that, you know, I'll go to God in obedience to this word here, and sometimes it doesn't seem to help. And there's also that phrase, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's that thanksgiving in that context expresses faith in God that He's going to do something.
Yes.
So, amen.
Good, yes, absolutely. Yes. That's good. Anybody else?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank the Lord for it. I don't know how that happened. Honestly, I was sitting there. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I remember Pastor Ryan had come to me. And he's like, hey, Josh, want to teach? I go, okay, yeah. You know, because sometimes I need to be pushed into things. I'm not readily to jump and do it. But, as you know, in faith, I stepped out. And, you know, as I was sitting there, I had, you know, because I would teach the youth. And so I have a lot of things that I've used before. But every time I was like, hey, Lord, what about doing this? Nope, not that one. Well, what about this one? This one was a good one, Lord, with the rock and the... And he goes, nope, not that one. I'm like, oh, Lord, well, what do you... You know, and so as I sat down, I think I had left... I forget where I went, but all of a sudden this verse had showed up in Philippians. I'm like, Lord, this is perfect. Like, it just spoke to me. And as I got home and sat down, he just, like, download. I'm like, Lord, this is a little too much. I can't write this fast, Lord. And so... That was totally him from start to bonk. I can't write like that, so I didn't copy paste it. Just he'd fully download that whole thing. So, a man in the back. Yes, yes, I will say that again. Listen, worry and anxiety is a rodent. It cannot live in the secret place of the Most High. It cannot breathe in the atmosphere made vital by prayer and familiarity with the Scriptures. Worries die when we ascend to the Lord through His prayer and word.
Josh.
Sue, yes.
As I'm speaking from a female side of, we guys say we're 99% plus 100% emotion, emotions and feelings. And that's one thing that I know that I battle with. Feelings stop me from going to the Word because I don't feel like it. I don't feel like God's listening. I don't feel. Please don't live by your feelings.
Yeah.
Live by what the Lord tells you to do, because sometimes you step out not feeling like doing something, and then the good feelings follow because the Lord is waiting for you to step out and call on Him.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
I just wanted to share really quickly because anxiety is something that I've really struggled with in just throughout my whole life. And so this was probably 2 years ago, it got really, really bad, and I was getting physically sick all the time because of my anxiety. A constant prayer was, God, just take this anxiety from me. Jesus, just take my anxiety. And I realized one time when I was praying, like what you just said about praying and being in the Word, I was asking the Lord to take my anxiety, but I wasn't giving it to Him.
Mm.
And you can't be like, hey, Dad, take the microphone from me. Can you take the microphone from me? Just take it. But I'm not going to give it to Him. So there's a verse in Psalms, and it says, be still and know that I am God. But then there's another translation of that verse that is, let go and know that I am God.
That's good.
And that's where we just have to say, you know what? You're right. This is not my burden to bear. This is not who I'm supposed to be. So, Jesus, you can take that. You can take this. That can be with anything, with anxiety or depression or anger. Give it to Him.
The Lord wants it all.
He does.
Literally, all of it. All of it.
I'll just piggyback on what she said, too. And sometimes, as Susan said, it's hard to just open the Bible. You know, everything in your brain says that's what you need to do, but something in our physical, you know, emotions does not want to do that. And sometimes I think that even just using the technology we have and turning on your Bible app and just letting the phone read the Bible out loud, just filling the room with his words, with His presence. You know, the Bible does say that the demons hear His name and they shudder, and they don't like that. And the Bible is the God-breathed words.
Good.
Yes. So even if you can't get the Bible open, just get on your phone, the only time I'll ever tell you to do this, and plug that Bible app in and hit play and just let the words fill the room. Let His Spirit do what His Spirit is going to do. And it will minister. I mean, even David, you know, when he, you know, strummed on that harp for Saul, you know, just those words and those psalms and those songs ministered to Saul's soul. And just start there. Just start there.
It's like, you know, it says Jesus is the Word of God. You know, He is the Word. You know, there's so much power in just His words and His scriptures. You know, I remember this time, you know, Amanda was, you know, feeling like there was this spiritual attack, you know, on our family, on her, on, you know, I think she was pregnant with Jasper maybe at this time. And, you know, so we ended up just putting the Word of God, boom, boom, every wall, every door, you know, when you first enter, all over. And then we prayed it, and we, you know, and the Lord, He, you know, through His power of His Word, you know, stopped, boom, you know, all that stuff. It's just awesome. Yes. Anybody else? Mr. Mark.
One of the most powerful psalms that I've ever read. It is the place where we need to be. This is the place we need to live. It's Psalm 91. And if you don't mind, I'll just read it. It says, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, for the pestilence stalks in the darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall by your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not approach you. You will only look on this with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. For no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your dwelling. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in your ways. And they will bear you up with their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and rescue him and honor him. With a long life will I satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. He's the one that does the work. He's the one that keeps us safe. He's the one that takes care of us. Our job is to trust him.
Absolutely. Way in the back there.
I have something God wants me to share, but I don't know that I have the exact words, but sometimes he allows things like anxiety for a reason. I have post-traumatic stress disorder. Anxiety is a piece of that, and God has allowed that, you know, in my life. But the beautiful thing is, you know, even though, like, it doesn't all go away, he gives me what I need. So I pray, you know, before I sing, because up in front is not a place that I feel comfortable with. And he still gives me a joy in my heart that I can, you know, sing those songs and still have a smile on my face, even though the anxious body, not the spirit, but the body, my hands are shaking. You know, so that physical peace doesn't necessarily all go away, but God still provides that spiritual peace and joy to stand there and sing. And I think, you know, in some people's circumstances, I just want people to be aware that God will take away what he needs to take away, but he will also allow what he needs to allow.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're gonna. The Holy Spirit was speaking a couple things. One during the communion time, and one actually yesterday. So we're gonna do something that might be uncomfortable for some of you. Okay, but there are two things I want to say. The first one is the Lord gave me an odd saying during the communion time, and I'm like, what do you want me to do with this, Lord? And it was that he's the restorer of broken walls. And sometimes in our lives, we are so damaged by these things, by worry, by anxiousness, by all these things, that the enemy can just come in and out. You know, we get become fearful and afraid. And I think the Holy Spirit would have us do two things. One, I think he would have us to be encouraged that he, the Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ, wants to rebuild those walls that maybe have been torn down. And he wants to do it in the name of Jesus Christ by the blood of the Lamb. So that is a message that I believe the Lord has for you and for me and for us. The other thing is, I felt somebody mentioned something yesterday, and I was feeling like, gosh, like the Lord would have us to do this. So we're going to take 5 minutes and listen. If anyone is uncomfortable with this, okay, you are absolutely welcome. We hope you've enjoyed the service. You're welcome to go. We're going to take 5 minutes or however many minutes, and we're going to have a time of prayer. And let me tell you what we're going to do. I feel like the Holy Spirit was leading this, and I was like, he wants us to pray for those who are anxious and are really struggling. And we can all struggle with it, right? But I'm going to ask some of those who are maybe a little bit more mature in the Lord, okay? And if that's you today and you're really struggling with it, then you keep that hand up. And if not, I'm going to ask you to go around and pray for these people. But in a minute, I'm going to ask you, if you're really struggling with anxiety, to raise your hand. And I'm going to ask all young or old to gather around those people, okay? And I'm going to ask you to pray over them. And I know that might be scary for you too, praying over somebody. That might be new, but I want you to do it. And so I asked Stan Lee. He's just going to play in the background. And I even asked, I said, God, why don't I just, this is what he was putting on my heart. And then I said, we do the dumbest things sometimes. And I'm like, Lord, you know, it would be really easier. Why don't I just go up there with Gary and Josh, and we'll just go, a few other people, we'll ask people to come up and pray. He's like, no, I don't want that. I want you to do it this way. Okay, Lord, that's kind of scary. But if the Holy Spirit's leading, then all I want you to do is to raise your hand. And if you will ask for prayer, just raise your hand nice and high. Raise it high and keep it raised. Don't worry about who thinks what, who says what, who cares. Remember what they were saying? You know, sometimes what Natalie was saying, you know, you got to, okay, so we're going to ask for it. So look at those people around you with their hands up. Look front and back. And those of you who don't mind praying, I want you to go to them. Go to them and pray over them right now as Stan Lee just plays some background music in the Lord. Keep your hand raised high and go to people. Go to them right now. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Ask the Lord, who do you want me to pray for? And just start praying over them. Don't worry what you're going to say. Don't worry about what you just gather around those people. Keep those hands up. Keep those hands up. We're going to get to everybody. Josh, if you wouldn't mind also going and grabbing and praying for someone. Look around for those hands up. Don't let anybody leave here. If there's a hand up, Sue, right there. Right there behind. Okay, there's two over here. Right here. Thank you. Okay, there's also one back here. And if you need to leave, don't feel pressured. But listen, there's hands up, guys, and people need to be prayed over. There's hands up, and people need to be prayed over. Take a step of faith and pray. All right, I'm going to set this microphone down right now. Look around. Youth, look around. Ask if God has somebody to pray, he wants you to pray over them, okay? And then just gather around them and pray. Don't be scared. Pray over them in Jesus Christ's name. Stop what you're doing. Put your hand on their shoulder. You can pray silently. You can pray out loud. And if you need to go, you can go. We love you. We're so glad you're here. But just pray for the next few minutes. And Stanley, if you would just play, and then we're just going to let people to minister to others.